We're talking about gay marriage here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. In a landmark ruling in 2015, the Supreme Court struck down all state bans on same-sex marriage and legalized it in all 50 states. This week, Taiwan became the first country in Asia to legally recognize same-sex unions. And we want to know how marriage equality is getting along here in the U.S. We're at 800-642-1234. This is surfacing as South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg makes a bid for the presidency. Is Buttigieg bringing greater representation to the LGBTQ community? Peter Hart Brinson thinks about this as an associate professor of sociology and communication and journalism at UW-Eau Claire. His book is called The Gay Marriage Generation, How the LGBTQ Movement Transformed American Culture. Peter, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, draw some now and then comparisons for us. How does our country view gay marriage now compared to how we saw it a few decades ago?
The earliest recorded measurement of public opinion that we have about gay marriage was from 1988. And back then, only about 12% of Americans supported gay marriage. For comparison's sake, about a similar percentage of American voters believe in Bigfoot. And so back then, the idea of same-sex marriage was nonsense. But now, about two-thirds of Americans support same-sex marriage, and of course it's legalized in all 50 states, as you mentioned. So it really has been nothing short of a transformation in attitudes in a very short period of time.
Can you identify a particular age group or a generation that is responsible largely for this shift toward accepting same-sex marriage?
My research showed that the big shift happened with Americans coming of age after 1992 or so. So if we assume that most Americans kind of develop their fundamental attitudes and worldviews that stick with them over the years, about the time they turn 18, then that would include people born roughly after 1974. People born after 1974 grew up in a society that defined sexuality as an identity, as part of who you are, whereas older Americans grew up imagining sexuality to be a behavior, is something that you do. So the group of people that we can call the gay marriage generation support gay marriage in part because they simply understand sexuality in a different way than their elders.
Oh, because they grew up around it, where it was accepted, where it wasn't a conspiracy theory, perhaps, in a way.
That's right. If you imagine homosexuality to be just part of who you are, then there's no logical reason to deny someone the right to marry. In fact, Americans thought about gay marriage in a way that in a similar way that they thought about race. This is just one way in which people differ from one another. By contrast, since older Americans thought of it as being a behavior like gambling, they tended not to support gay marriage because, well, why would you change an institution that has been around for thousands of years simply because people prefer to do things differently? So people's attitudes about gay marriage were certainly logical given the ways that they conceived of what they were talking about.
We're talking the history to the present day and the topic of gay marriage with UW-Eau Claire's Peter Hart Brinson as our guide. He's a sociologist. Do you identify within the LGBTQ community, or do you have a friend or family member who does? Do you think the government should do more for gay rights? What needs to change? We're at 800-642-1234. You can join in by email ideas@wpr.org. Peter, let's fast forward now to 2015. The U.S. Supreme Court rules that gay marriage is a constitutional right. You know, 4 years removed from that, have the marital rights of same-sex couples evolved or faced new barriers, even though same-sex marriage is legal in all the states?
The marital rights of same-sex couples seem to be on a firm foundation. We have witnessed the rise of religious freedom laws that would allow institutions to deny service to, in this case, same-sex couples on the basis of moral and religious beliefs. And the constitutional status of those laws is currently contested. In terms of federal and state law pertaining to marriage, I'm not aware of any significant challenges to those. However, it is true that lesbians and gays are just as vulnerable to employment discrimination and housing discrimination as they were prior to marriage legalization. And that depends upon what state they lived and what municipality they live in. So other than same-sex marriage being legalized nationwide, there still remain some issues, some unsettled issues with respect to LGBTQ rights.
How are we seeing housing or employment discrimination play out? What do you see there?
Housing and employment discrimination really depends quite a bit on the attitudes of one's peers, the people who live in your environment, your boss, your landlord, your mortgage company. And so as people's attitudes towards a group of people change, you're likely to see less discrimination. I don't know if that's true or not. I haven't seen the data to show whether or not discrimination is up or down. If we agree that discrimination is a bad thing and something to get that we would like to get rid of as a society, then certainly more positive attitudes towards lesbians and gays that we've seen in society over the past several decades is a positive trend.
We've seen the entertainment industry play a role in changing attitudes. And let's rewind now to 1997. Ellen DeGeneres famously came out on her sitcom, Ellen, and 42 million viewers witnessed her do it.
I'm 35 years old. I'm so afraid to tell people. I mean, I just... Susan, I'm gay.
So, Peter, how did this moment on Ellen's show shift our perception of LGBTQ people?
For Americans who didn't know anyone personally who identified as lesbian or gay, this was the first time that they would have seen anyone come out and admit who they are. That's a powerful moment, and it's witnessing someone at their perhaps their most vulnerable state and admitting to what was back then most certainly a stigmatized aspect of who they are and risking social disapproval or marginalization by the people who are hearing them come out. And so for a lot of Americans, being able to see a celebrity like Ellen or a fictional character even to come out in front of millions of people, the potential that that had to change people's minds about homosexuality was really quite large. And my research shows that in the entertainment industry, the ways that lesbians and gays were portrayed in the media starting during the 1990s was much more positive and sympathetic than it had been in the decades prior to that.
Talking with UW-Eau Claire sociologist Peter Hart Brinson. He wrote the book, The Gay Marriage Generation. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Do you have a same-sex partner? Are you married? Did you have to wait to be married because of the law? And what do you think of the way our country handles same-sex unions? Do you feel you have the same rights as an opposite-sex couple? Call in. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll get back to this in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about same-sex marriage and societal views here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We've watched this issue unfold on the presidential campaign trail. Democratic candidate Pete Buttigieg has talked openly about the freedom to marry his partner. Chasten Glessman, and they've been married for almost a year. Here's Glessman on CBS Sunday Morning last month talking about why gay marriage is historic, but that when it really comes down to it, sexuality doesn't matter in the day-to-day issues that come up in married life.
We passed marriage equality. I don't think I have to answer for my marriage anymore, but I do enjoy going out there with Pete and showing people that, you know, a gay marriage is just like a straight marriage. I mean, we have our same spousal quarrels over laundry and who takes the trash out and, you know, who forgot to pay the bill this week.
Are you a baby boomer or a Gen Xer? Have you seen gay marriage evolve? How rapid do you think this change has been? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Peter Hart Brinson is an associate professor at UW-Eau Claire. He stays with us. So going back to the presidential candidate, Pete Buttigieg, and his husband, they are recently featured on the cover of Time magazine under the headline First Family. Does having an openly gay presidential candidate tell us anything about where we are culturally right now?
Yeah, I think it does. And the quote you played from Pete Buttigieg sort of hits the nail on the head. It would almost be unimaginable that his candidacy would be as promising as it is right now without the 2015 nationwide legalization. The fact that his relationship is legally recognized in all 50 states means that officially that's not a sign of illegitimacy, I guess you could call it. So I certainly think that it would have been unlikely to see a serious presidential contender from either party who was openly gay or lesbian prior to the nationwide legalization.
Let's take a call now. Let's go to Tom joining us from Burlington. Hi, Tom.
When Wisconsin was talking, Iowa was listening, and I used Wisconsin Public Radio to get my message out to create two families. I wanted to see every child have two parents, and Joy Cardine and Kathleen Dunn made sure that message got to Iowa, and when there were three judges in Iowa, that were the first time in our country that legally they made the first step towards the legalization of marriage. And what I would really hope now is that we can get these adoption laws straightened out so that we can every kid in America can have two parents. Children don't care where the parents come from as long as the love is there.
Tom, thanks for the call. Where are we at with adoption and same-sex couples? Do we know, Peter?
I actually don't know that information. I'm unaware of any significant changes in recent decades about adoption laws specifically that are different from marriage. Mm-hmm. Of course, those adoption rights are still contested, and there is no constitutional right to be able to adopt a child, as far as I know. But beyond that, that's your caller raises a really interesting and good point.
Well, we were talking earlier about the entertainment industry, and there was a recent episode of the show, the PBS show Arthur, and his friends attending the wedding of their teacher, Mr. Ratburn, and his male partner. Alabama Public Television chose not to air this episode. Let's take a listen.
Mr. Ratburn is married. I still can't believe it.
Yep, it's a brand new world.
So what do you make of the takeaways from this episode?
excuse me. There were about 16 seconds on that particular episode, which itself is about 12 minutes long, that featured the same-sex couple that is, of course, the subject of the controversy. And the children on Arthur during this episode are much more concerned about whether their teacher getting married is going to make him into a mean teacher. You know, they don't really particularly care who he's getting married to. They just want to make sure that their teacher stays the same, you know, lovable, friendly teacher that they've always had. So the clip that you played is them sort of expressing shock about their teacher going from being a single person to being a married person.
not the fact that it's this is a gay couple here, just showing that, hey, I want my teacher to be the same way they were before they got married.
That's exactly right. I mean, as a children's program, the children can relate to the idea of a teacher being a mean teacher or a good teacher, much more so than they can relate to what is, in some ways, an abstract debate about who can and cannot get married. So a grown-up watching that episode would probably respond very differently than a child watching the episode.
So let's move on to Wisconsin. Wisconsin does have laws protecting people from discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation in employment, housing, and public accommodations, but there are no protections from discrimination on the basis of gender identity. Is that commonplace in the U.S.?
It is much more common for protections to exist for sexual orientation rather than for gender identity. And these are actually very different things. We oftentimes lump them together under that acronym LGBTQ, but gender identity is a very different thing from sexual orientation. And if the political debates of the last few years indicate anything, it's that that issue is going to be much more controversial in the coming years than lesbian and gay rights specifically.
And the House recently passed the Equality Act, a bill that would prohibit discrimination against the LGBTQ community in the U.S. What do we know about this legislation?
I actually don't know a whole lot about that personally. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. And then, you know, going back, though, to gay marriage being legal and LGBTQ Americans not fully protected from discrimination, 28 states have no laws protecting people from discrimination in employment and housing. What does this say about our culture and our acceptance of LGBTQ people?
We are certainly very far from a national consensus about homosexuality. Although my book tells a story about a very rapid shift in Americans' attitudes about gay marriage, not everyone agrees on homosexuality. About one-third of Americans, of course, continue to oppose it. And in many communities and in many states, lesbians and gays are still symbols of a morally corrupt culture. And so I don't think that is going to change anytime soon. Depending upon what state you live in, depending upon what city or what county you live in, you are more or less, as a lesbian or gay individual, you are more or less likely to find people who acknowledge your identity and respect it for what it is.
Where do you think Wisconsin has work to do on this issue?
That's a good question. I think Wisconsinites pride themselves on a kind of a collective can-do spirit. Ever since I moved to Wisconsin about 15 years ago, I have always been amazed at Wisconsin's civic spirit. And I think in much of Wisconsin, I do think that lesbians and gays feel much more included than they did 10 years ago, say. So as society has changed as a whole, I think Wisconsin has sort of kept up with the norm.
So has achieving marriage equality done anything to push the needle on other issues? Is acceptance of same-sex marriage an indication of support for more wide-ranging equality?
We have some evidence that marriage equality did actually contribute to more Americans supporting gay rights. In other words, as Americans perceived the legalization of same-sex marriage to be something of a stamp of approval, I think Americans as a whole did actually become more supportive or certainly more tolerant of equal rights. So certainly the legalization of same-sex marriage was a very significant event. It did make a big difference in terms of people's everyday lives.
Well, you wrote a book out of it.
I did indeed, and I like to think it's a decent one.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Peter Hart Brinson is associate professor at UW-Eau Claire, the author of the book, The Gay Marriage Generation, How the LGBTQ Movement Transformed American Culture. And we've been looking at changes in generational and cultural attitudes toward same-sex marriage. Coming up, we look at the latest Wisconsin law enforcement survey and learn how people feel on things like marijuana legalization and immigration. That's after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.